Bernard, and today we are speaking with Sarah Ann Shockley. She is the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living With and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. Welcome to the show, Sarah.
Thank you, Marie. It's great to be here.
Thanks for being with us. Now, you're an award-winning filmmaker and you used to teach in universities, but now you're living with some serious chronic pain. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey?
Yes. In the fall of 2007, so it's been a while now, I was diagnosed with something called thoracic outlet syndrome. It's not very well known, although it's becoming more prevalent, unfortunately. For me, it came in through computer use. I'm almost 6 feet tall, and I was using a mini keyboard, not even a regular size laptop, but a very small keyboard, and in a non-ergonomic situation. I was doing a lot of research for a private individual, and unbeknownst to me, the top of my body was kind of collapsing inward for many hours a day. And that eventually led to thoracic outlet syndrome, or TOS. And what that means is that the clavicles, or the collarbones, and the first ribs, there's space between those two bone structures. And between that space runs your scalene muscle from the neck. It's a pretty large muscle. Some large nerve ganglia, a major artery, and some veins. So you've got a lot of things going on between this little skinny space between these two bone structures. And TOS means that those structures collapse, that the collarbones kind of collapse down on the first ribs. And all of those things that go through there naturally, usually quite without a problem, are effectively compressed and squeezed. So it creates a great deal of pain, and it creates debilitation in the arms and hands and in the neck. It's hard to turn the neck. And when you have it very severely, as I have had, you even kind of walk with a little bit bent forward. It's very hard to do almost anything with your arms and hands. And you're in pretty severe nerve pain all the time. Wow. So it's a lot to deal with. Most people don't have it as severely as I have had it. And for most people that have it less intensely, there are some physical therapy things you can do to relieve it. For me, for whatever reason, I got the super duper version, and it would not respond to physical therapy. In fact, most therapies we tried made it worse, and didn't respond well to medication either. My body didn't really do much for the nerve pain, and brought in a whole lot of side effects that were pretty unpleasant, like nausea and dizziness and headaches and things that weren't really helpful. So I was pretty much left to my own devices to try to figure out, how am I going to live with this, and how can I possibly move through it if I can't hardly move my body?
Wow. Thank you for sharing that with us, Sarah. So it sounds like you're essentially in constant pain. I imagine, I mean, can you, when you go to the hospital, usually they say, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your pain like? I imagine it's shifted through all of the work that you've done, but can you give us a look of, like, your day of 1 to 10, like how the pain tends to fluctuate?
Well, yeah. When I first had this, I was absolutely at like a 15, you know, like that scale is like sort of crazy, because it's very subjective, and how much can you stand? I have a very high pain threshold, but so people will use that scale differently to mean 7 might mean really, really horrible for some people and not so much for someone else. And so when you're in pain, that all you can focus on is the pain. I consider that almost beyond the scale, you know, where mm-hmm. It takes over your entire existence and your entire, it's the only thing you know is pain. That's pretty intense. So it was that way for quite a while. Excuse me. And what happened for me, and I am a lot better than I was before in terms of the pain levels, and we'll talk about that and what I did to shift that. But what would happen for me, and I think this happens for a lot of people who are dealing with long-term pain, is you go to bed at night exhausted from being in pain all day, but you aren't necessarily comfortable because you still got your pain. And sometimes medications can help somewhat and sometimes not so much. And with nerve pain, they don't necessarily do a whole lot for a lot of us. So, and with something like TOS, it, because it's a structural problem, lying down or keeping any position for any length of time increases the pain. Mm-hmm. And so lying on your side, like, you know, nothing is ever quite comfortable. So you have to get yourself kind of, you know, involved with all these pillows and try to find a way to at least doze. And for many years, I really did only doze for short periods of time. And then I'd have to very painfully and slowly move to the other, you know, other side and try to figure that out. So, so you get up in the morning, often feeling like you were beat up by an angry gorilla all night, or, you know, run over by a tree. You know, you just, you almost can feel worse than when you went to bed, but you have to try to sleep. So I know many people that are listening may have a similar experience from different conditions, but this not being able to sleep is really difficult. And so you wake up in this kind of zombie mode of not feeling very refreshed and sometimes almost worse off. And that can be very much at a high level of pain. And then you have to start your day from there. Mm. So a lot of what I talk about is the intense challenges of living with pain, the emotional challenges, the despair that we can get into. You know, when you wake up to another morning of, oh, how am I going to get through this day? How am I physically going to get out of bed? I mean, literally, that could be a challenge to just physically get yourself up and, you know, roll out of bed and try to come up to standing, and then to somehow take a shower, brush your teeth, do things, all of these things you're doing in pain that used to be so easy, totally for granted, cooking some food or making something, opening turning the lid on something can be extremely difficult for somebody with TOS. And anybody with any kind of pain and back pain, any kind of pain, can certainly inhibit your ability to do these things that we take so for granted. So for me, it was like stumbling through the day at a very high level of pain all the time. It rarely went down much. And when it did, it was because I was learning how to relax as much as I could. It's very hard to relax while you're in pain. So it's almost an oxymoron to relax pain. But you kind of have to find a way to reduce the stress around being in pain. It's very stressful. It's very worrisome. There's a lot of fears that come up. There's a lot of things that go along with living in physical pain that go well beyond just the physicality of it. And you've got the actual pain itself that will be at all these high levels during the day. And it does go up and down and up and down during a day, a typical day. But you're also living with everything that comes with it. And that's your fears. And that's the stress of trying to deal with coping with it. Can I work? I had to stop working. A lot of people have to reduce work or stop working. Then you have a lot of financial worries, and how are you going to take care of the bills, and who's going to take care of your kids? If you know, I was a single mom and worried about how I was going to be able to take care of my son, and would I end up on the street, and who, and what was any treatment going to help, and all of these questions. So all of that's going on while you're trying to deal also with the pain. So it makes it extremely exhausting to just be in pain. So I don't know if that's answering your question, but you go through a range of pain levels in a day, but you also go through a range of emotional challenges in a day. So I guess that's what I want to include in there.
Thanks, Sarah. And I imagine you mentioned how difficult it is to sleep. I mean, I've had a little bit of chronic pain, not anywhere, thankfully, at the level that you've been facing. But when you can't sleep, it makes everything, I mean, pain, your pain threshold goes down when you're sleep deprived. Yeah. You have far less patience. It's harder to be mindful and present and just deal with other things in addition to this constant discomfort and pain.
Yes.
So I can imagine, I mean, the thought that keeps coming to mind as I'm hearing your story is, how have you kept yourself alive? I mean, so many people faced with that would choose not to.
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's extremely difficult. One of the things that living with high levels of pain sort of demands of you is to find that strength inside mm-hmm. somewhere. And for me, honestly, having my son, he was 11 at the time, it was both a challenge and a great boon because I had somebody to get up for in the morning. And somebody was waiting for me to be mom. And that was both added to my challenges and added to my sense of, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? But it also gave me something that I had to keep going for. And I think that can be really important to find something. If you don't have a someone, a something, find that place inside yourself. I'm worth doing this for. I'm worth getting up for. Because you're absolutely right. It is intensely challenging. It's very, very difficult. And you do, of course, you think about, could I just leave? Could I just not be here? It's so intense. Do I have to go through this? And many people do, you know, take that option out, and I don't blame them at all. But I think one way that I worked with it, I find is really important and has helped other people too, is to begin to work with, if you can't really help the physical pain so much at first, begin to work with everything around it. Try to find ways to make life easier for yourself where you can, and begin to address all of the things, you know, the fears that come up. There's a lot of shame that comes with being with pain. We feel very, very bad about ourselves. And I don't know if you experienced this with what you went through or not, but when you can't fix it, when it feels like it's not, you know, it's like never ending, it reflects on you, you feel, mm-hmm. and you think, what's wrong with me? Why can't I come out of this? Why can't I make this better? Why is nothing working? You know, is this a punishment? Is this karma? We would come up with all sorts of reasons why this is going on. And because we live in a pretty pain avoidant culture, because we don't tend to do pain, either emotional pain or physical pain, very well. In other words, what I mean by that is we basically wish it didn't exist. Nobody wants it to be here. But the way we do that is to fight it often, or to deny it, or to say, this is bad, this is wrong, this must be a mistake, I must have failed, something's wrong with me. You know, so we consider pain as a bad thing, which is understandable because it's painful, it's mm-hmm. difficult to have. But when we come from that place of just assuming that all pain is wrong and bad, what happens for the person who's in pain and can't seem to come out of it is we begin to feel wrong and bad with ourselves. And that adds to, I believe that helps kind of lock the pain in place, because it adds to our sense of defeat in a sense, and our sense of that overwhelm that you were kind of talking about, like how do you live with this? And that's a lot of what I talk about and write about, is how do you live with this? How do you get up every day and find ways to feel better about yourself? And one of the first things is to know that pain is not a punishment. It is a signal that something needs attention, but it doesn't mean that you have failed, or you have made a horrible mistake, or you are wrong, or you're failing, you're not the perfect patient or the perfect anything. Kind of let go of that and realize pain shows up in our human experience. We're going to meet it at some point. It's going to be physical, it's going to be emotional, or both of those things. It's part of the human experience. So to kind of take yourself off the hook in the sense of that guilt and shame about living in pain, because that's very heavy, and that adds to that sense of leading us into a feeling of depression and hopelessness. So if we can release some of that, you know, and just realize this is, I don't know why, maybe I don't understand exactly how this happened. Sometimes chronic pain is not something that's easy to diagnose or even understand why it's still staying around. But that doesn't mean that I'm a bad person or I have done something terrible. It's a landscape I'm walking through. It's something that is come upon my path as a human that I'm going to meet, and I need to find a way to meet it. And I have found it's more helpful to begin to work with that as positively as possible, and release the senses, a sense of blame on the self.
Do you want to voice this one?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Do you want me to voice it?
I can voice it. Yeah, please voice
That's
this
the
one.
That's the wrong mic.
I forgot.
You dip. I can't believe I put up with this. And I asked for a grape soda, you asshole. Okay.
Due to a labor dispute, CITR is missing its star voice actors. That means if you're interested in producing PSAs, advertisements, and various other promotional wonders for airplay on the radio, we need you. Learn how to get involved with CITR's production department and all other facets of volunteering at CITR and Discorder Magazine at CITR.ca. Programming, photography, media training, and more. Plus, a guest star in the lounge. Nope, wait, we can't promise that.
Can't believe I put up with this.
Join Jo Dworczyk and her comrades in stand-up comedy on August 13th at the Yuck Yucks Comedy Club as they attempt to make you laugh for a good cause, raising money for the Residents for Independent Living Society. The lineup includes Megan Milton, Andrew Valance, Julia Stretch, Claire Pollock, Haley Beamish, and Byron Bertram, with Katie Allen Humphreys as the headliner. The doors are at 7 with the show at 8, with all money going directly to the Residents for Independent Living Society. For ticket information, go to yuckyucks.com/Vancouver.
Right now we're speaking with Sarah Ann Shockley. She is the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living With and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. And you've shared some of your story with us, Sarah. One of the things that you recommend is for people to share their story. I had someone on a few weeks ago talking about chronic pain, and one of the things that he prescribes to his patients is to tell them actually to stop talking about the pain. And I feel like maybe there's a certain personality that this advice is geared towards.
Well, I'd love to address that. That's great. I understand where this person's coming from, for sure. There's a couple things I want to say about that. One is that a lot of times people will talk about their pain over and over again, and it becomes kind of the story. And I think that might have been what this person was concerned about, is that you create a story that you keep repeating, and mm-hmm. it's hard to get out of that loop.
And anyone who will listen, it's like, let me tell you about my pain.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But my belief is that the reason that people keep talking about it is that they never feel actually heard. Mm. There is a way to hear someone's story that allows them to feel acknowledged and heard and respected for it. And one of the things that we don't tend to do well in our culture is really see, acknowledge, respect, hear pain, whether it's emotional or physical. So we tend to rather want to hurry someone through it. And I take grief as a good example, because we can kind of understand that a little bit better than physical pain at first. So if you think of somebody who's grieving, we often want them to, we think it's the best thing for them not to talk about it. We think it's better if we not mention the person that just passed. We think we should help them hurry up and get back in life. We should divert their attention. And yet really, when you're in grief, a lot of the opposite is true. You want to talk about the person you just lost. You want to be heard. You want to share stories. You want to be able to cry with your friends or with your family, whoever it is. And yet our response is, no, 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 don't do that, because you'll stay stuck in it forever. It seems that, in fact, what we need to do is experience it and have very positive ways of expressing it. Then we don't get stuck in it. We don't have to go around and around in that loop, because we've actually been heard. So similarly, I think physical pain is very similar. I think pain is pain ultimately. And what I've found is that all pain has a story, and that the person who is in pain, they're feeling it very deeply on a physical level, and they're feeling it very deeply on an emotional level. And when we talk about pain, a lot of times the person we're telling doesn't really know how to receive it. And we're all that way. This is the way we've been brought up. It's like, don't talk about it. Don't show it. Don't share it. Don't put it on me. And then if someone does talk about it, we usually try to fix it for them. That's our first response. Have you tried this? Have you tried that? Go to my doctor. Here's a supplement, which isn't really hearing the story.
And it sounds, sorry to interrupt you, Sarah,
yes, no,
but
please.
I imagine that also adds to that sense of shame, because then it's either the, yes, I've tried that, and then it feels like more of a failure, or if the person feels like they already know that's probably not something that's right for them, then they're not, it adds to that, you're not doing everything you could to
absolutely
get better.
Yes, you're so right. That's absolutely a really good point, and very, very important. So part of it is that we when we talk about our pain, we're not heard because the person quickly doesn't let us be where we're at. You know, it's a way of making the person in pain wrong without realizing it. Mm-hmm. When you're constantly trying to change it and fix it. So, and it does add to the sense of shame. People in pain are under a lot of pressure to not be in pain. Yeah. We're all around us. People are saying, get out, hurry up, come back to life. Don't be in pain. Haven't you tried this? You're not trying hard enough. Why don't you do this? You know, you can't be in pain that long. Come on, you're exaggerating. You know, we get this all the time. And when we go to doctors, you know, we're not really telling our pain story in the way that I'm trying to express that might be a helpful way. We're like listing symptoms, and we're listened to in a sort of a medical way for most doctors. And often not even, we don't even get through our whole list of symptoms before they say, oh, thank you very much. And they're writing on their clipboard. That's not the talking about pain that I'm trying to talk about here. And also when we were expressing a little earlier about the person who kind of is in the loop of all they talk about is their pain and their condition and their this and their that and their medication, that's not what I'm talking about either. So when I talk about telling a pain story, it's really talking from a deep level. It's telling, it's having the space and the time to speak from the true heart of the self, to talk about how this affected a person's life. How does this affect me? What do I feel like? I want to be able to say, this is awful. This is horrible. This has changed my whole life. I feel alone in here. I feel isolated. I don't feel like anyone understands me. This is a common experience for people in pain, and they don't feel heard. And for the person who's hearing it, what's needed is that person to just hold the space and just listen. And that may sound like the easiest thing to do, and yet it's the thing we're least apt to receive as people in pain, is someone just allowing us to be where we are first and stop pressuring us to be different. Because that's another way of making us wrong. And again, as you mentioned, it's another way of shaming us when we leap in and try to help someone in pain before we let them just tell us where they're at. And then we assume that they haven't done all the things that they've probably already done. And it's like assuming that they're not trying every second of every day to heal, which of course, that's all we're doing. People in pain, that's all we're trying to, you know, that's everything, every ounce of our energy is just trying to deal with the pain. So I advocate looking for someone who, and you probably kind of have to set the groundwork for it and say, you know, I would like to tell you how this has been for me. It's important for me to tell someone, and ask that person to please not interrupt, not try to fix, not try to help, not offer any suggestions. Just be a compassionate ear. And if they want to cry with you, cry, you know, feel something, but let the person tell the story and have it fully heard and accepted and allowed to be exactly what it is. I think that's what is much more healing. And it's a huge relief to tell your story and have it heard. And I believe it's part of our healing process, that healing isn't just what goes on medically. It involves the whole person. And part of it is to share our stories. And also, you know, we feel so alone in our pain. So when somebody can just hear us and say, wow, that must be really hard for you. That's like, somebody at least sees me here. So, and I think that's a very different way of expressing it than the loop thing, which I imagine was the other person was probably talking about.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sarah. I'm curious, so you kind of gave one example of reflecting back of how hard that must be. I'm wondering if you have any other tips for, as I actually have a couple people in my life who are going through grief right now. And even though I've been trained in some basic crisis counseling and all of that, when it's someone who is a friend and someone I care about, there's this kind of not knowing what to do with myself while I see, you know, I have to sit with my own discomfort of seeing my friend in pain.
Exactly. And that's a really good point. A lot of what happens for those of us that are sitting with someone else in their pain, whether it's emotional or physical, or often it's both, is that we don't know how to be, exactly as you said. And we want to jump in and we want to stop the pain. And that's something that we have to look at in ourselves. our own discomfort with pain, mm-hmm. our fear of pain. It's part of what I was mentioning before in terms of our pain avoidant culture. We really fear pain. We think it's something that we should never have. We should never have to meet it. It should never be here. And if you do meet it, stop it immediately. You know, find someone to help you stop it, or you stop it, please. You know, and I don't want to see it. And it comes from this strange idea we have that pain shouldn't exist. And yet here we are in this human form, and pain does exist. It's kind of like aging, death, these things we don't like about being human. And yet here we are, and we're going to meet them one way or another. And it's how we meet them. And so I think for the person who is with someone who's in pain, yeah, it really is helpful to look at your own ideas about pain. It's not that we want to invite more pain into life. It's not that we go, oh, yay, I enjoy pain. I mean, you know, most of us don't. But it's the way we are with it that can shift. And if we can look at our own fear of pain and just release that and go, okay, yeah, pain's here. It's part of our experience. I don't have to experience it hopefully every second, but I'm probably going to meet it now and then. And here's a person in front of me who is in this place of pain. So can I just be with them? I don't have to enter into their pain. I don't have to take it on. They're not going to infect me with it. You know, we have this fear that somehow if we talk about it, it's going to get worse. And yet the opposite seems to be true. If we talk about it constructively, if we talk about it in the way that where it is really heard and honored. And that's the key. If we can listen to someone's story and respect the pain, respect them, respect and honor where they are, understand that somehow this pain is important to them. It's an important part of their healing. It's a signal that they're trying to heal something, and just respectfully honor it. It's almost like you bow to it in a sense. It's not that you give it dominance over everything. I'm not meaning that. I'm talking about respect for the person who's walking this path of pain, and respect that the pain itself is part of them trying to talk about something. It's like the part of them that's in pain, the part of them that's hurting, is speaking up now. It's asking for attention. And so in that kind of respect, it's so helpful for the person who's going through this to, it's such a tremendous relief to just be seen in it and have the person just be okay with that. That sounds like a very small thing. It's absolutely huge. And I think that maybe we used to do that, you know, with doctors doing house calls, and they'd come in and just talk and put their hand on someone and comfort them. I think we've kind of, you know, we've moved some of the healing aspects out of our medical system, and we're missing that. At least we here in the United States, we don't tend to allow for the humanity that needs to be part of our healing. And so these aspects of telling stories and holding space for people and understanding that pain is just part of the journey. You're still part of life. You're still my friend. I'm still with you. You're not on a separate planet because you're in pain. You're still in the midst of life, and it's just something you're going through. I think all of these things are incredibly important part of healing and helping us move beyond the pain. Ultimately, we don't have to stay stuck in it.
Oh man.
What?
I really wanted to catch that football game, but I have to clean my room. I'm so bummed.
Yo, man, totally chill out. You can catch it on CITR.
CITR?
Did someone say CITR?
Yeah.
CITR Radio brings you Thunderbird Sports on the weekends. Catch all the action and don't miss a moment of play with our live play-by-play and color commentary. Only on CITR 101.9 FM.
Wow, that's great.
And if you can't catch the game, tune in at 3:30 p.m. every Thursday for our weekly update on UBC Athletics with live scores, recaps, and in-depth analysis.
Oh, okay, dude. Okay, dude. We get it.
Dude!
Only on CITR.
Do groovy people watching amazing artists tell their artivism stories in dance, music, storytelling, visual art, celebrating our stunning Coast Salish land feel right to you? Vines Art Festival, August 8th to 19th, runs at parks throughout Vancouver like Trout Lake Park, Kitsilano Beach, Crab Park, Gravel Island, Roundhouse Community Center, and Strathcona Park. Watch Kim Mortal, Missy D, Immigrant Lessons, Pia Massey, and the Indigenous artists from Resilient Roots create a world you want to live in. Oh, and did I mention that it's all free? VinesArtFestival.com.
Right now we are speaking with Sarah Ann Shockley. She is the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living With and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. I kind of want to ask you about what it means to move beyond chronic pain, but I also want to ask you about that statement, the first step in healing is to fully arrive in your pain. So what do you think is more important at this juncture?
Let's start with the arrival and then we'll see if we can move beyond it.
All right. Seems
logical, right?
Yeah.
So I say that because it's similar to what I was talking about in terms of grief before. You know, people need to be able to be in their pain even briefly before we can begin to heal it. And that sounds really not like a very popular thing to say. And, you know, why would you want to be in your pain? Eh. And of course, we don't really want to be there, but there seems to be, you know, pain comes in with a purpose. It's a messenger. It's part of us. It's part of our body, but it's also part of us saying, hello, I need some attention here. And what we usually do because we consider pain to be bad and not a good thing is we use medications we even call them painkillers. We try to silence it. And I'm not opposed to pain medication, not at all. But if we only do that, we're only silencing it, then we can never hear what it's come to say. We can never engage with it in terms of why are you here? And of course, it goes with a condition usually, and it often goes with an accident or something's occurred. So we understand physiologically the why of it. But there's also other levels to it. And there's things that we can learn from pain. Learn about ourselves, learn about life, learn about being in the present moment, learning about paying attention to ourselves. We can learn about how to be kinder to ourselves and more compassionate. So for me, and I say this because I've been in working with pain for like more than 10 years now. And for the first half of that, at least more than that, it was very acute and extremely difficult. And I had done the part where you fight it, and that didn't, I very quickly found out that was not a good plan because my pain levels shot through the roof because fighting is stressful and exhausting. Mm-hmm. So then I went to the end of being very stoic and very accepting and very, okay, I'm going to ignore you and carry on. But that didn't move the pain. It just was there. It was just, and it was even getting worse. So I started working with the idea of how can I be with this differently? Pain's already here. What is it? What's it for? Why is it still here? And that's when I started working with it could it possibly be a positive force? Is it here for a positive purpose? And I thought, well, of course it must be. It's here to tell me I need to heal something. So instead of thinking of it as the enemy, thinking of it as an ally, as something, it's the part of me that's hurting, that's asking for my attention, and how can I give it attention that's actually healing rather than, you know, almost like punch it in the face, or we contract ourselves against it. We contract our body. We stop our breathing. We get very tight. We almost, it's like we're trying to reject that part of our body that's in pain. And that's a way of not allowing it to arrive, not being with it. So we kind of try to stop it by not letting it be there. But for many of us, that doesn't make it go away. It doesn't heal it. It doesn't let it complete itself. It's like we're not letting it ever arrive. Oh, don't be here. Don't be here. And again, this may not sound like a very popular stance to take, but when we're living with pain day after day after day, year after year, and the way that we've been with pain, which is fighting it, isn't working, maybe we want to look at a different way of being with pain. That's what I'm suggesting. And one of those ways is to kind of take a breath, step back from the battlefield and that battle front of pushing against it, and just say, okay, pain, you're here. I don't really like you at all. I don't like the situation I'm in, but I understand there might be a good reason you're here. how do we move through this? And even, you know, I used to write letters to pain, and I've done things where I've imagined that pain was sitting in the chair opposite me and just imagined having a conversation with it. And you might be surprised that some of the things that pain has to offer isn't all negative. It's, in fact, much of it is positive ways to improve your life. It's trying to ask for more rest. It's trying to ask you perhaps to slow down, to be kinder to yourself, to be kinder to the parts of you that are in pain. And so that's what I mean about kind of allowing it to be there, allowing it to arrive before we can move through it. And I think that's a really important step. I think a lot of our chronic pain is that we get stuck in the pushing against, never letting it really be there part. And if that works and you move out of pain, great. Whatever works for anyone, I'm totally unsupportive. But if you find yourself stuck on that battlefront, then I would suggest learning how to be with pain differently. And so then in terms of moving beyond pain, that's kind of how we do that too, walking with pain. Mm-hmm. In the sense, you know, I often talk about pain as a landscape that we're moving through, that when we're in pain, we feel like it's our entire experience, our entire reality. It feels like we've been taken to what I call planet pain. You know, you're surrounded by it, you're in it, you're immersed in it, it becomes your whole reality. And to begin to, you know, it's easy to feel that way. It certainly feels like that's what it is. But part of that is our resistance to it, where we almost make it worse by pushing. And if we can just kind of relax even just a bit around the pain, maybe the pain itself can't relax, but if we can kind of let go of that pushing part of us. And I've also found that, you know, our culture tends to be very into resourcefulness and independence and goal setting and getting through things and doing it fast and getting quickly and moving on. And we often will apply that mindset or that approach to pain or our conditions. We're gonna beat this thing. We're gonna move beyond it. We're gonna have a healing goal. We're gonna exist and we're gonna be done by this. So we're gonna go over here. And again, if that works, fantastic. If it's not working, maybe that kind of approach isn't what the body's asking for. That's what our culture says is the way we get ahead and the way we do things and the way we succeed. But maybe that isn't the way we need to approach living with pain or being with a condition that's ongoing. Mm. So in order to move beyond, we need to, in a sense, move through it and be with it differently. And that means being with ourselves differently. You know, looking at ourselves with kinder eyes, I always say, learning how to be more compassionate to ourselves. I mean, how often do we ask our pain, what do you need today, pain? Instead, we wake up and go, oh man, you're still here. Get out, get out, get out, get out, go away, go away, go away. And it can be really helpful to instead sort of turn towards it and say, okay, you know, and you're the best friend I never asked for. You know, you're the roommate I didn't order, but here you are. What are we going to do today? What do I need to know from you? What do you need? And maybe it's softness. Maybe it's being really quiet. Maybe it's learning how to be with ourselves differently. There's a whole lot of things that pain can actually teach us. And for each person in pain, that journey is going to be very individual. You know, what it is that they learn, what it is that they need to shift and change within themselves in order to move beyond.
Thanks, Sarah. As you were talking about being with that pain, you mentioned how pain can often be triggered by some kind of accident or something. And it does sound like often pain comes along with trauma or some kind of injustice. Mm-hmm. And I mean, living with pain, living constantly with pain, that feels like the epitome of injustice.
Oh, it sure does.
How do you work with that?
Well, that's really difficult. Excuse me. It has to do with our perception. You know, when we meet with an accident or an illness, our perception of it is that it's unjust and unfair, and it does feel that way. And life isn't necessarily always going to be fair and just. You know, it's got its ups and its downs, and it doesn't seem to have been built for utter fairness. And so to, I think it's changing our perception. You know, when we, like I contracted TOS, that sounds pretty unfair and awful and unjust. I didn't deserve that. And I've been a good girl and I was doing everything I was supposed to do, you know, and it isn't, it, I don't think it's so much that something almost deliberately unjust has happened. I think it's more that we change our perception to, okay, this is what's here. I don't understand necessarily why this happened to me. And I think there's some value in looking at how it happened. Like, oh, okay, I could have been more mindful of something. I could have paid more attention over here. Maybe, you know, there's some value in that. But then when we've gotten what we need out of that, leave that alone, just kind of drop it and stop, kind of move away from the why me, why now, why this, because I don't know that we're ever going to get full answers to that. As humans, we, a child dies. What is just about that? That's horrifying. Somebody meets with something terrible. And we always ask these questions. Why is this happening? I mean, this is some of the questions of our existence, right? Mm-hmm. And whether we believe in God or we don't believe in God, or how can this happen? So this really, I mean, being in pain and having to deal with something like this and something that's very debilitating, it absolutely takes you to the core of your spiritual beliefs, your ideas about life, about meaning. What does this mean? And you may not get a definitive answer to that. Just like we, you know, it's like the guru in the cave, you know, the answer to life. There's all these jokes about what the answer is because nobody has the definitive answer necessarily. But what we need to do, I think, is kind of let go of the feeling of unjustness and feeling that it's a punishment or feeling that it's a something terrible that's happened to us, and say, okay, I maybe don't understand how this happened or where this came from, but I can start from where I am right now and decide how I'm going to move forward, and kind of let go of the why stuff, and instead how am I going to move through this? How am I going to meet this? How am I going to make this something better than it was? How am I going to find positive ways to be with this, even if it's a horrible situation? And not to ever, you know, I don't advocate making light of it or pretending it's all wonderful when it is. And it's very, very challenging. I mean, living with pain is the most challenging thing I've ever done. It's a very difficult path. And yet, if we move with it and allow ourselves to kind of go deeper, it can become part of our spirituality, becomes part of finding out who we really are in there. We find our inner resources. We find that light within us that never dims. We find that place deep within that is unaffected by pain. I always think of it as the eternal part of us. But whatever we call that, we can use the path through pain as a way to be more in touch with our inner self and our inner resources. And we may rail against it and fight it and hate it and, you know, be angry about it for a while. But then if we can kind of drop that, let that go, and just go for the finding that deep inner calm and strength.
Thanks, Sarah. Now, I'm sure that even with all of the work that you've done, there are days where you're angry about it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, because I don't want to, I know on the spiritual path, like I've had this, if I have a bad day where I'm feeling negative or grumpy or whatever, then I blame myself, or I feel, oh, I'm not being spiritual enough because I'm still in this anger.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to discount that this is not just a linear upward path.
It's like, absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that, because it's absolutely true. That you're going to go through the gamut of emotions in one day. You're going to go from hopefulness to hopelessness to helplessness to having a great sense of, okay, let's do something different here, to, you know, oh man, why am I still here? I mean, that can happen all in one day. And really it's about having not just the negative, or not just, I don't even know if we'd call it negative, but not just the stuff that brings us down and makes us angry, but also adding the resources for the other things, but not to feel like we have to be happy about it, or we have to live in this Pollyanna sort of, I'm fine, even though I'm, you know, not at all. I'm not saying that at all. I think part of what I really talk about is getting in touch with those deep, difficult emotions. And a lot of times when we're in physical pain, that's all that our attention is on, is the physicality of it, because it's so demanding, it's so intense, it's so right in your face. And we can go on days not even realizing how angry we're feeling, or how disappointed, or how desperate, or how, you know, we're sliding into this well of depression without even realizing it. So I absolutely advocate getting in touch with those emotions, and then moving through them, you know, finding ways to express them, to acknowledge them, write about them. If you have enough movement in your body, you can dance through them, shout into your pillow, whatever you have to do. But absolutely acknowledge it's very hard. And it's not like I'm saying that, oh, if you do these things, your pain will go away instantly. Or if you do these things, you'll feel happy all the time. No, it's you're going to go up and down. And it's absolutely a spiraling path. It doesn't have a linearity to it. You're so glad you said that. But you're going to have days that are better and days that are worse. And you just, if we can understand that that's what's happening, that can really help those hard days when we go, but I know I'm going to spiral out of this. And then I think of it rather as a spiral rather than a circle, because we're spiraling to different levels. So we're not always coming back to the same place, even though sometimes it feels like, oh man, I've been here before. Yes, but now we're at a different understanding. If we can go deeper with it, we can create different meaning in our lives. Sometimes we feel like pain takes all the meaning out of our lives. And we have to, part of our task, I guess, if we're given this path of pain, is to reconstruct our lives, to find a way to be in life with the pain, at least while we're still with it, and to find meaning somehow in that, to make meaning. And it is, again, about changing the way we see things, changing the way we perceive the path we're on, changing the way we perceive ourselves into a more, and I call it a more positive approach, but that doesn't mean that I'm saying we have to be happy about it or we have to be jolly, not at all, but more constructive might be a better word. But yeah, it's absolutely so important to recognize and express the deep emotions that come with living with physical pain. Very, very important.
Thank you, Sarah. And I'm curious how we've talked about purpose and meaning, how your purpose and your kind of North Star has maybe shifted from now that you're living with chronic pain from before.
Yeah, well, totally. Before I had this condition, I was very active. I'm athletic, used to do a lot of martial arts, swimming, traveling, backpacking. So I was a very active person, and I used to teach business and thought of myself as very resourceful and kind of somebody who got things done. And that changed overnight. Like, I couldn't do any of those things. So who are you when that happens? You're left with, I mean, especially something like this where it stops just about everything. And when you're in intense pain, that happens to so many people where it feels like life stops. You're cut off from almost everything you enjoy, and you might be cut off often from your career, from your aspirations. You're cut off from your own future. And you're left with this sense that, you don't know who you are anymore. And it takes a lot of strength and fortitude to begin to rebuild yourself and find your new North Star, so to speak. So it's really important, I think, to do this too. A lot of times when we find that that has happened and here we are in pain and our life has become incredibly limited in comparison, it's a lot of times we just stop there and we sink into depression. Because our old life, unfortunately, has shifted. It's not available to us. And that's really sad. And there's a great deal of grief and loss that goes with that. And once we've felt that and allowed ourselves to come to grips with that's what's happened, there comes a time if we're gonna carry on, if we're going to find a way to carry on, that we need to redefine our North Star, or we need to decide, okay, who am I now? Who can I be? And not wait for pain to stop. to begin our lives again. That's, I think that's a mistake a lot of us make, especially early on. We think, well, it's going to go away. It's going to go away. It's going to go away. I'll just wait for it to go away. I'll wait for it. And it doesn't go away. We have to then go, okay, I guess it's going to be with me however long it's going to be with me. I don't know what that means. Don't know if that's going to be weeks or months or years. So while this pain or this condition is with me, who am I? Who can I be? How can I find something that's meaningful to do or to be or to participate in, even if it's really limited? And that's phenomenally difficult. I'm not making that a light thing at all. It takes a lot of being with yourself and asking yourself questions like, what's important to me now? And what can I do? And maybe your answers are very few. For me, it was not much at all. And I thought, wow, here I am with everything's been taken away. So I started writing, even though writing was painful too, because I thought, well, I used to be able to write my emotional difficulties out, like in journaling. And I thought, I'll start writing about this pain. And eventually I realized I had something that might help other people. And that's when I started to work on developing it into a book. It was not easy to do. It took me years and years and years to write a short little book that might take somebody, you know, that wasn't in pain. It might take you a long, long time to do something. But for me, it was always, I felt better about myself moving towards something than not doing anything at all. So yeah, it's a long process. It's not easy. It was, you know, it's a lot of inner searching, soul searching. And to say, well, can I make something out of this? Can I, not to make it all better, not to say, oh, this was wonderful, I'm so happy I had this experience. No, it's been awful, but it's been really, really challenging and nothing I would ever wish on anyone ever. And yet I've had to walk through it as so many of us have had to. So it's like, I think of it as a journey to the underworld or the dark night of the soul. You know, you go down into the underworld, that deep, dark place of pain. You're going to meet demons. You're going to meet part of yourself that you like and you don't like. You're going to have to sift through what you're going to keep and what you're going to leave. And you're going to have to lighten your load because you can only do like one thing in a day, like literally, you know, and you have to pick that one thing, whatever it is, that before your strength gives out, or and you really hone down to the core of who you are. And in a strange way, that's the gift of coming through this, even though it's not the gift most of us really want to have to find in this way. And yet you do find what's pure and what's most important to you, because you're only allowed this tiny, tiny, tiny little bit of energy. And so for me, it's been writing about the pain and then finding ways to creative ways to be with it differently that helped me. So then sharing that with other people has been huge for me. It's been hugely helpful. And I really believe that expressing it, and I call it throwing lines back out into the world, like trying to find ways to reconnect with the world. And for me, it's been, even though writing is slow and painful for me, it's my way of reconnecting with myself and with the world and with others, and hopefully being some kind of help for people that are going through this, that feel very, very alone in their pain. So yeah, it's again, it's not easy. You know, I can't say, oh, you know, do this and you'll be pain free tomorrow or your life will be wonderful. It's a hard path, but hopefully we can find ways to create more well-being and more calmness and serenity, even in the midst of it, through doing some of these things about being with ourselves and being with pain.
Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, I really loved what you said about not waiting for it to stop, because I feel like anyone listening, whether they're dealing with chronic pain or they're dealing with anything, low self-esteem, financial issues, weight, yeah, like so many of us in, I don't know if it's a cultural thing or what, but we put our whole lives on hold waiting for, oh, when I have the money to do this, or when I reach to get to be a size 4, then I'll start doing,
yes,
you
exactly.
know, and it really is about moving towards something.
Yes.
No matter where we're at.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it's important, especially when you're in a desperate situation like pain, which does feel, I mean, you can be filled with despair. I mean, it's very, very difficult. So finding anything to move toward. You know, I started out when I realized I was sliding into this well of desperation and desolation. I thought, man, you've got to find some way. And when you're very limited with what those ways can be, you look for, and this is what I write a lot about too, is finding these little tiny things, because the little things can lead to bigger things and lead to bigger things. But the little things are what make up our life. Our life is mostly little moments. Mm-hmm. So we're still in life, even when we're in pain. We're not out of life. We're having a different kind of life, and it may not be the life we chose, but we can't almost like abandon ourselves because we're in pain. We have to learn to stay with ourselves. And so one way I did that was to begin to reconnect with people. And I don't even mean, sometimes it was with friends that had sort of drifted off because I wasn't able to do much. And I would have to say, you know, can we just have a cup of tea? And I can last about 20 minutes. Can you deal with that? You know, and let them know that that's as much as I could handle. But also just in the little things, you know, walking down the street and going into a store to buy an apple, and then just coming out of myself a little bit to interact with the person who was selling me the apple. Just that little bit as a starter of, okay, I'm reconnecting. And it sounds so simple and almost ludicrous, but when you're deep in pain, you feel so disconnected from life and from the world. It becomes a kind of a scary place in there. So to begin to make these little reconnect, and they will add up to more and more and more. So it's really important to begin to find ways to reconnect with life, with yourself, with your dreams, with hope, any way you can while you're still in it, and not to wait. As you said, it's very, very important. And it's also, I believe, part of what heals us.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Sarah. We are just about out of time. We've been speaking with Sarah Ann Shockley. She is the author of The Pain Companion, Everyday Wisdom for Living with and Moving Beyond Chronic Pain. We could probably talk for hours more, so get the book if you found this conversation to be interesting or helpful to you in any way. Again, the name of the book is The Pain Companion. And I wish we had more time, Sarah, but what would you like to leave our audience with today?
Well, I would just say to remember that if you are dealing with pain right now, it's not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You're not wrong. I know it feels very alone and lonely, but there are many millions of us on this path, and we're in it together. So find ways to reconnect with life, with yourself, because it's not a judgment on you, and it's not anything about you as a human being. It's part of your path right now. So, and I respect you so much. I respect everyone who's walking this path through pain.
Thank you. Sarah Shockley is the name of the author. Thank you so much for your time today, Sarah.
Thank you, Marie. It's great.
The name of the book is The Pain Companion. And thank you for being with us this hour. I want to send you lots of love wherever you are in your life, or with pain, or with emotional pain, physical pain, whatever it may be. I want to send you so much love. Be well. Namaste. Up next is Parts Unknown with DJ Chris Arific on CITR.
All right, I'm gonna do it wrong. I'm about to spit in this mic like freestyle elfin, you know?
Okay. Wait, hold on. Does it make sense?
No, but who cares? All right, let's go. Finally, we. You're not even gonna last. All right. Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival, fountain, just back from France. Montreal? What the f***?
It's a script.
I couldn't even... What? Victoria's pretty good, not bad festival. Fountain back from France. What are you even saying here? Oh, you're trying to say these are the things featured in this one. You should probably specify that. Because even a f***ing elf couldn't understand that, okay?
Think you can do better than an elf? At CITR, we want to have a variety of voices on the air. Want to write scripts? Do some voice acting? Broadcast your creativity? Volunteer with the CITR production department. No experience? We can also train you in everything required. Send an email to psas@citr.ca to learn more. And don't wait to get your voice on the air.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Join Joe Dworczyk and her comrades in stand-up comedy on August 13th at the Yuk Yuks Comedy Club as they attempt to make you laugh for a good cause, raising money for the Residents for Independent Living Society. The